the media. You guys remember that last week? I want you to make sure that you log on and take it. Do I have anything for that, Holly, today? Like a little anything slide or anything? See if you can find that. And make sure when I start preaching, take that off. Because last week I'm trying to preach, and y'all like this. What we want to do, we want to empower you to build yourself up in the Word of God so that you can complete your kingdom assignment. There are people who are dying for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to make sure that you have a good working knowledge of how to communicate that gospel message. In this right now media, they've got lesson plans for whatever your interests are, whether it's prayer, women, youth, worship, Bible study, devotions. They've got over 20,000 videos, and it's free for you. Everyone say, I like free. You know you like free. We described it as the Netflix for saints. Huh? And listen, and you can share your password with anyone you want to, and you wouldn't be considered a thief. Amen. And so I want you to access this, all right? We want to empower you to do what God's called you to do. Amen. I'll give you like 5 more seconds to make sure you have that. Then that thing is going off of the screen. All right? Hurry up, Cheryl. Get you a new phone. What do you got then anyway? What is that? A BlackBerry? What is that? I got to talk about my cousins. It's all right. I'll give you a few more seconds. While she's doing that, why don't you turn to Ephesians chapter 3? All right. 3, 2. Do we got like one of the little printouts? Okay, we're gonna give you one. All right, take it off the screen. Glory to God. Christmas is almost here. Woo! Glory to God. I've got almost all my shopping done. You too? Yes. It's a trip though, as no matter how old your kids get, there's still a level of expectation they have that you're going to provide something for them. They over 30. And they still looking for some gifts and stuff. And so whether we're good or bad, we go out and we get it for them. We want them to enjoy their Christmas. It's my wife's fault. But that's all right. But yes, it's almost here. And I know some of you have your Christmas traditions. And I want you to know that whatever you do, make sure that you share with them the Christmas story. All right? Whatever you do, we have Christmas breakfast or brunch or lunch or dinner, share the Christmas story. For saints, if we do not do that, we dishonor the Lord. For it is his birthday that we're celebrating. The thing about this, you're going to come to my party. It's my birthday, and I'd acknowledge me. You just there for the food. That's a dishonor to him. And we're not going to get into fight on whether he was born the 25th or not. That's not the issue. We celebrate the birth. He was born, right? And we celebrate that. So make sure that you honor him by acknowledging him and share the Christmas story with your family. And you who are today, I'm going to dub you all ministers of the gospel. I'm going to send you forth, right? And so when you have your Christmas dinner, it is your job to share the story. Tell your neighbor, it's my job to share the story. It's your job. It's your job. All right. So don't fake. All right. So Ephesians chapter 3, we've been talking about who we are in Christ and what we possess, what we have. And let me digress just a little bit into chapter 2 for a little bit. I'm going to read these verses of chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." We discussed last week briefly in chapter 2 that this word trespass means to go beyond the boundary. So there was a boundary set and you went beyond the boundary, right? There were boundaries set when you were a kid. You had to be home by a certain time, right? Or you were playing outside. They said, okay, some say we had streetlights in San Francisco, and so they would come on at a certain time. And when the streetlights come on, you got to be inside the house, right? There are certain boundaries. Or you couldn't go around the corner to your friend's house, right? There are certain boundaries. A trespass means that we went beyond the boundary, all right? We were somewhere we shouldn't have been. The Apostle Paul is saying, but you're no longer strangers or foreigners. Now God welcomes you into his home, into his family. You're no longer trespassing. You now belong here, all right? Remember, trespass means to go beyond the boundary. It said here also in this passage, they used the word cornerstone. And this cornerstone, what it does in a building, it provides this horizontal and vertical alignment. It provides this horizontal alignment. It provides vertical alignment. So what it's saying is that Christ shows me how to align myself horizontally with people. I learn how to interact with people, how to deal with people based on the cornerstone, how he did it, right? He gives me the alignment on how to do it. And so watch this. When he said, he made a statement about, I didn't come to be served. I came to be a servant, right? That gives me alignment. I'm here to serve people, right? Not to be served, but to serve. He gives me alignment. But not only horizontal alignment, that cornerstone also provides for vertical alignment. Meaning this, he shows me how I deal with the Father. So Jesus said this. He said, listen, I don't say a word that the Father has not said. I don't do a thing the Father has not done. So it shows me, we as the saints, as part of this building, based off the cornerstone, we shouldn't say a word that the Father has not said. So you're at work, and you know, have you ever got close to being on your last nerve, somebody? Close. They're not on your last one, but they push in the envelope, right? And you want to say something, but the Father had not ordained those words. So you keep your mouth shut. Amen? Because I need to be in alignment with the Father. It says here, in whom the whole building being fitted together, being fitted implies that care has been taken in the placement of each stone. What stone works best in each location? And so watch this. We are stones, right? We have the chief cornerstone, which is Christ, all right? It says here being fitted. Again, it implies that the Father has taken care and time on how to fit you in that building. Listen, whether you're Baptist, a Lutheran, Assemblies of God, Church of God in Christ, Church of God, listen, the Father has fitted you in the building. whether you're going to be in the second row, third row, fourth row, he has fitted you in the building. Listen, we are not the builders. The Father is the builder. And he is placing stone upon stone. Oh, okay, I'm going to put you here. I'm going to put you here. I'm going to have you come into the world in 1961. I'll have you come into the world in 1852. I'll have you come into the world at 2019. And I have you plan to come into the world at 2022. He's fitting everyone in. Listen, I wouldn't do well at 1851. I need me a bathroom that I can flush the toilet. Amen. I need a sink I can go and turn the water on. I need hot water I ain't got to boil. Glory to God. I told you, mother would tell me back in Louisiana, she'd have to go and boil the water every day that she'd wash clothes. Huh? We have something in our washroom. We don't use it, but we have it. It's a washboard. And it's there to remind us where we came from. Huh? Mother would say that she would have this stuff, you can still find today, called bluing. And bluing would actually turn the clothes white. And she put that in there, and she would scrub and scrub and scrub. She was fitted in. She was born in 1925. That was for her. I'm born in 1961. So he fitted all of us in, right, into this building. So we're all part of the building, but some came before others. And he knew you. God knows you. He knows what he can do with you. He knows your attitude. He knows your temperament. He knows what you don't like. He knows what people have put you around. He knows. And so we're being fitted together. Watch this, verse 22. Built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now hold your finger there and go with me to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25. Exodus 25 and verse 8. Verse 8 says this, and this is God speaking. He said, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." We are this house that the Father has put together for a dwelling place for his Spirit to dwell. We carry the presence of God everywhere we go. You need to understand this. You carry the presence of God everywhere you go. And so no matter where you go, you must be careful how you react and interact with others because you carry the presence. You carry the presence. I'm very careful how I talk with others. Even those who may call these people, they call like at 8 o'clock at nighttime. It looked like a number you should be familiar with, right? So you pick it up, and they begin to, and I want so much to be rude. Am I the only guy? But I'm reminded that I carry the presence of God with me. And they may never see me face to face ever in life, but the Lord sees me. I have to be reminded that they too have been their sins have been paid for as well. Right? And so I can't talk to them any kind of way. But I want to. But I don't. Amen? Because I carry the presence of God. You don't know who you're going to meet 6 months from now, who may know you. You act up in the grocery store, and someone see you. And then their friend, one of your friends, and they invite their friend to church. And they see you here in church. You know what I'm saying? It's a bad reflection on us. Ephesians chapter 3 says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We've talked about revelation. Revelation is, it is the lifting of the veil. And so when we talk about we need revelation, pray for revelation, we're not talking about we're adding more scriptures. This canon, the scripture, this Bible here is complete, okay? So we're not adding more scripture. What we're doing is, what happens is, we get revelation from God. The example I used was, I read through the Word of God in year one of my Christian walk, right? And I get some things out of that. Year two, I read the same passage of Scripture, but all of a sudden, God lifts the veil. I think, oh, you've experienced that, right? It's revelation. So we're not talking about adding more Scripture, right? But the revelation, the lifting of the veil, so you could see clearly now what the Scripture is saying. There is so much more to hear. You think you know? This stuff is written by God. Of course. People say, well, how can you explain God? He's infinite. If I could explain him, he wouldn't be infinite. Amen? Oh, my goodness. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles, us, should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Listen. The Jews and Gentiles, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, listen, I want you to know we're one in Christ. I said last week there was a part of the temple, there was this wall there that the Gentiles could not enter in past that wall, right? That wall of separation. There's no wall of separation in Christ Jesus. I don't care your background, or whether you're male or female, rich or poor, ethnic background, doesn't make a difference. We're one in Christ. And I said it last week, don't let anything prevent you from the togetherness that's found in Christ. Don't let your political affiliation. Sometimes we need to just stay off social media. Don't let your ethnic diversity be a hindrance to the oneness we have in Christ. Don't let you are male or a female be a separation. We're one in Christ. This is part of the mystery that was hidden, that the Jew could not believe. There's no way a Gentile can be saved. But this is the mystery. The God said, I'm going to save everyone. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Glory to God. We are one in Jesus. He uses this word minister in verse 7. It's a title of service, not exaltation. Meaning this, it's not, I don't get the title of pastor or bishop or elder and it exalts me. No, the Greek word here for minister is a table waiter who is always bidding for his customers. Meaning this, what do you need? You want some more water? You want this? Oh, you like this? So what it's saying is, to be a minister, to be a pastor, an elder, a teacher, what I'm doing, I'm waiting on God's table. It's not a term of exaltation where you serve me. I don't mind serving. And listen, I'm glad that you guys partner with me and do things I don't have to do, but I don't mind serving. This title, it's not a title of exaltation. It's a title of service. I'm serving the Lord. How do I serve the Lord? By serving you. Amen? Glory to God. Jesus, oh my, could you imagine this? Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God from heaven, coming down to earth, throws a towel around his waist, gets on his hands and knees, and washes your feet. Glory to God. And we say we can't clean the table because I'm the pastor. That's ridiculous. Verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul never forgot that he used to be dead in his trespasses. He understood that he was only in this position because of God's grace. If you live in an apartment or if you live in a home, it doesn't make a difference. I want you to at some time take a moment and say, Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you for this. There are many times I'll sit in my garage and I'll just look at my full, overwhelmed garage with stuff I got. And I just say, Lord, I thank you for this. I'll walk outside and say, Lord, I thank you for this. Listen, we can never forget there was a time we didn't have, right? But now we have. He never forgot that he was in this position because of God's grace. Paul was thankful for his office and also humbled by it. You know, this great Bible preacher, pastor, Charles Spurgeon, he made this comment, the fuller a vessel becomes, the deeper it sinks in the water. The fuller you become with God's presence, the lower you ought to go. It's we have it reversed now, and we think that the more anointing I have, the more I ought to be exalted. There's only one person on the throne, and you not him. Amen? You not him. You not him. Only one on the throne. And so Mr. Spurgeon said, the fuller a vessel gets, the deeper it sinks in the water. The more I humble myself before an almighty God because I realize it's by his grace. You have your home because of God's grace. You're able to walk in and move today because of God's grace. Yeah, that's all. The revelation that Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he uses the third person, was accompanied by a thorn in the flesh so Paul would not be puffed up. And Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10, verse 30. He said, listen, I know you've left mother and father and house and land, but in this life you're going to get 100 times more. But he also said to this, plus persecution. Because God understands our flesh. Amen. Saw the young man before I got saved. After I got saved, I wanted, because everyone in San Francisco, if you you want a Cadillac. Right? And I didn't know when I was coming up that the right pronunciation for this type of Cadillac was Brome. We call it a Broham. You remember? Got me a Broham. If you're over 50, you understand. You guys, you're in 30s, you don't understand what I'm talking about. We had a Broham. And so what we wanted to do, we would have that nice Cadillac Broham, and we'd want to, you know, there was the driver's seat, kind of middle area, and passenger. And so we want to be over here. And we would just lean all the way like this. Am I right? Yeah. And so finally, I was crazy enough to go buy me a Cadillac when me and Ola were married. I I don't know why I'm sharing this with you today, because it's not even in my notes. I don't know how I'm even going to tie it together, but we'll see where we land. And I was puffed up. That's what I want to talk about. I was puffed up because I had me, you know, a Cadillac. Photo Cadillac, and they're nice long ones. And I'm in North Vallejo like this, with the left hand. I'm working that thing too. I couldn't afford it. I got behind on the payments. I knew they were coming to get it. So I kept it in the garage. One Tuesday, I forgot to put in the garage. They was waiting. Here they come. And they took my Cadillac. It was gone. no more of this. Being puffed up would get you in trouble. And so God, with his grace and mercy, allowed that. He didn't cause it, but he allowed that because I needed to learn something. Amen? I needed to learn, not Ola. I needed to learn. Ola knew already. She knew we couldn't afford it. She said, you the man. Okay. So what I had left was an old beat-up truck. But we made it, me and my wife, we made it. Don't be puffed up. Paul understood, don't be puffed up. The more that you get, achieve, humble yourself more. Every good thing comes from God. Amen? Paul remained humble no matter how much revelation he received from God. Yeah. I believe that God wants and desires to pour out more revelation to us. But he knows that some of us are not ready to steward the revelation. I'll say that again. I believe that God wants to pour out more revelation, understanding of this, what is written, all right? But he understands that some of us are not ready to steward that revelation, right? And what I mean by that is there'll be a tendency to be puffed up, because here's what happened. You're in a conversation with someone and you have a revelation about this and you share it. They say, oh, whoa, I never heard that before. Well, you know, I've been in prayer and fasting all week. He knows that we might succumb to the temptation to get puffed up. If we do not steward the revelation or the promotion well, the weightiness of the revelation or the weightiness of the promotion would crumble our foundation. Because my foundation is not strong enough yet to handle the weightiness of the revelation or the promotion. I sincerely believe God wants to promote many of us. Positions on our job, right, in society, but God knows the foundation is not strong enough to handle the weightiness of the promotion. He said this to Timothy, when you appoint elders, listen, don't appoint a novice, all right, because they will get tempted, they may get puffed up. Right? And so don't do that. And so God has revelation, understanding, and promotion he wants for all of us. But we have to get our foundation strong enough to handle the weightiness of the promotion. There's nowhere in the world you would give the car keys to your 8-year-old. They don't know how to steward the ability to drive. You may have bought that car for them, but it's not time for them to own it yet. Because the weightiness of that would cause them to crumble. Amen? Many today have desired the gift of healings, where you lay hands on people and healings take place. But God knows that, and I want you to know, healings are for today. Healings are for today. But God knows that because of the weakness of our foundation, that gift which is good will be a detriment to you now. When I became pastor of this church, Bishop Green, he came and he installed me. And I remember the charge he gave to me. He performed the service, and he spoke these words to me. He said to me, "Your job is to deepen your ministry. It is God's job to widen it." He said those words to me. He said, "Listen, your job is to deepen your ministry. Go deep in God." Sometimes we forget about that, and we want to go wide. No. He said, "Your job is to deepen your ministry. It is God's job to widen it." God will give you favor when it's time and when your foundation is strong enough to handle the weightiness of the promotion, or the revelation. But you're not ready yet, so go deep. Amen? People will say all type of great things about you, but you must remind yourself it is only by God's grace that I'm here. Verse 10 says, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." My God. What the Bible is saying here is God said, "Listen, I'm going to use the church to show the devil and everybody else all my wisdom." And the angels were saying, "You going to do what? You going to use them? why would you use them? I'm going to use the church, all of us who've been broken, who've been in sin, who've been messed up." God says, "This is the mystery. I'm going to use you to show the devil my wisdom." What? No. You see, the mystery of our salvation was hidden so well that even the devil didn't know. If the devil knew that by crucifying Christ on the cross, his number would be, he wouldn't have done it. He's running around thinking, "Oh, I'm about to kill the Son of God. How am I about to kill him?" And opened up the door for us. Amen? His reaction had to be, "Damn it." There was a cartoon with Bugs Bunny. His name was Yosemite Sam, right? This is God's wisdom. I'm going to use all you sinful people, I'm going to use you to show my wisdom to the principalities and the powers. I'm going to do. You're going to use me? And so when I think about that, I say, "God, you're so good that you'd use me." I pray this prayer with Ola often and with some of you. I tell the Lord, "Lord, thank you because you could do this better and faster than me." Amen? But you have chosen to use me. He doesn't need me. Tell your neighbor, "He don't need you. He don't need you. You, no. You, no. All the issues you got." Glory to God. Man. But God says, "I'm still going to use you." With all your hang-ups, all your addictions, all your personal things going through, I'm still going to use you. Oh, I'm so glad. Glory to God that he uses us. This mystery was that God the Father would send God the Son to each to pay for our sins. The prophets of old really didn't see it. The angels in heaven didn't see it. The devil didn't see it. He didn't see it. No one understood except God had this plan. "I'm going to save the world." Hallelujah. Glory to God. "I'm going to display my wisdom by using those unsaved, uncircumcised, reprobated mind people, us." Aren't you glad he uses you? Glory to God. Verse 11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access. This word boldness here, that the meaning is a freedom of speech. It means I have freedom. I have access to the Father. There are no inhibitions. I have freedom to go to the Father and say, I need more grace. I have freedom to go to the Father and say, I need more mercy. I blew it yesterday. I blew it this morning. I yelled at my wife. I did this to my husband. I did this to my kids. I blew it. We have the freedom of speech to go access into the presence of God and receive mercy and grace. That's why when you sin, and we will sin, right? This flesh wants to sin. Listen, don't run from God. Stop running from the Lord. Stop running from the church. Run to the Lord. Run to the church. You've got freedom of speech. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. Whether you know this or not, Paul is writing this magnificent letter to the church at Ephesus. Do you know where he was at? Not the Holiday Inn. Not the Hilton. He was in prison. How about we have access? Revelation. He was in prison. He's in prison writing this glorious letter to the church at Ephesus. Verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I will talk to my wife about being rooted and grounded, and this rooted and grounded to make stable, to be established, to lay the foundation, to cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded. I'm not sure if you any landscapers are in here today, but we owned a home some years ago, and there was this olive tree in the front yard, which makes no sense. An olive tree in the front yard. And so every year, olives on the ground. We not in Jerusalem. We, huh? We ain't gonna go out there and be squeezing and pressing the olives, right? No, man. So you know what I did? Oh, look, I got me a chainsaw. That tree got to come down. Amen? It got to come down. So we cut it down, right? But then what was left was that stump, which was rooted and grounded. And we got our well, not we, me, Ola didn't help. I'm with my pick and shovel and tried. It ain't working. Do you know why? It's rooted and grounded. And what the apostle's saying here is he wants us to be rooted and grounded, right? So that the wind blows and all that goes on, I'm still here. Huh? Listen, sickness, disease I'm going through, people lied on me, I'm still here. Huh? People don't want to act right, talking about me, I'm still here. Huh? I'm still here because I'm rooted and grounded. I'm rooted and grounded. Hallelujah. I'm rooted and grounded. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. My God. God's love is wide enough to include every person. It's long enough to last from now to eternity. Huh? His love is deep enough to reach to the lowest, the worst sinner. I don't care what you've done, how long you've done it. His love is long enough he can reach down to you. Glory to God. It is the devil that tells you, oh, this sin right here disqualifies you. Oh, no, you're disqualified. You can't get to heaven. Yes, you can. His love is deep enough to reach the worst sinner. It's high enough to take us to heaven. And that's where we're headed. Amen? to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. This is, sounds crazy. To know that which passes knowledge. How can I know that which passes knowledge? This know here, and my wife said not to share this today. Okay, I won't. I'll use another example. So watch this. What's going to happen when I hit the light switch? Huh? Right. So you know that by experience. Very few of us understand, have the knowledge of the physics behind that. All right? So this know here is to experience. All right? To know by experience the love of Christ, which really passes knowledge. And so I can know that what I don't have knowledge of. I really want to say it though, Ola. Cut it off. Okay. Gail, you know. You. If you want to know, just text me later and I'll tell you what it. You got to go to get your Bible, huh? Get your Bible study book. What does that mean? No, what does it mean? Glory to, listen, we got to go. Give me 3-5 more minutes, okay? Chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. All right, so do you know what a doxology is? Do I have that thing? Doxology. Doxology is a short hymn of praise to God, normally added to the end of the singing of a hymn or service. This is a doxology. Now, if you went to a traditional church, you know, sometimes you would sing this. So I'm not going to sing it, but it goes something like, praise God from whom all right. Change the slide. Did you know that? And the end is what? They got, amen. Right. That's a doxology. All right. You've heard it before, right? Well, some of you new Christians, you ain't like, what in the world are you talking about? The doxology. Come on now. The short hymn of praise to God. Verse 20 of Ephesians is a doxology. Doxology. Come on now. Now to him who is able. The able means he has the ability to perform. He has the ability to perform. Now to him who has the ability to perform, to do what? Exceedingly. Exceedingly means this. It means without measure. It means I've got a 25-foot measure, but he's 100-foot. So he's able to go beyond my measurement. Glory to God. He's able to go beyond my whatever tools I have to measure. He's able to go beyond that. It's like I was thinking about this. Dr. J, years ago in the 1970s, he was in this slam dunk contest, right? And he took off from the free throw line like this, and he dunked it. You got to remember that? Sean, you remember that, right? You remember that, right? Then Michael Jordan did the same thing, right? Years later. What this is saying is God can jump from the parking lot all the way like this and dunk it. It's beyond measure. Exceedingly, right? Abundantly, more than you need. He is the God of more than enough. Glory to God. He is the God of more than enough. More than enough. I don't care what you need. He's got more than enough. That's all you need? I can do more. I can do more. He is the God of more than enough, abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Like, man, think of your wildest dreams. Think about, you know, I really want a pool, but the Lord says, no, I can't have a pool. But a pool that just got the slides and an outdoor kitchen, right? And a hot tub connected to it, right? Big sliding glass doors, bifold door. You can walk out, entertain. Glory to God. Right? He said,
I got you. But on the other side, oh, man. Lord. No, I got you. He can do it. But watch this. According to the power that works in us, meaning, right, listen to this. That power is in you right now. That power is in you right now. That power is in you right now. The exceedingly abundantly above, that power lies in you right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so when Paul is pinning this thing inside that Roman prison, perhaps looking at Nero's chopping block out the prison window, he writes this thing. He's in prison writing this, right? He's in prison writing this good news. He's in prison. His prison was not like prisons today. Man. His only response to verse 20 with verse 21, the only fitting response to verse 20 is to give God glory in verse 21. His only response, like, man, God, you do all this. You can do all this. I'm in prison, but I'm still praising you. So verse 21 says this, to him be glory. Glory, glory, magnificence, excellence, preeminence, majesty. To him be glory. Hallelujah. To him be glory. Where? In the church. So watch this. I grew up in a Pentecostal Holiness church, and the preacher would say, and the church said, glory. Glory. Oh, y'all didn't do it right. Let's try it again. We'll try it again. Ready? Ready. And the church said, glory. Glory. Woo! Glory. Hey! My God. Glory in the church. That means we ought to magnify him in the church. Huh? Let him know that he is the preeminent in the church. Glory to God. We are the church. We are the lively stones. Amen? That he has fitted together. I got this person here and this person here. When I look at you guys, I see all different type of backgrounds and skin colors and male and female. God has fitted all of us together. Amen? And listen, he's the builder. He knows what he's doing. And you might say, well, why I got to sit next to him? Because I want you to. Kids ask you, well, I got to clean it up? Because I told you to. Amen? Glory to God. I put you there. I put you next to him. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Watch this. To all generations. Forever and ever, amen. Glory in the church, magnificence. My only response to what God is doing and who he is to give him glory. Huh? Only response is to give him glory. So when we come in here on Sunday mornings and we sing and give praise, you got to remember this, we're singing to an audience of one. Just one. Just one. I'm not singing so people could recognize how well I sing. I'm singing to an audience of one. I lift my hands to an audience of one. Listen, I'm not here to lift my hand to show you how spiritual I am. I lift my hand to an audience of one. I talk to him during the service. I'm talking to him. What you guys do, if you, well, you see, you'd be paying attention. If you're paying attention, you say, well, what's he doing? I'm worshiping one. Amen? Listen, don't come in here looking and seeing what others are doing. You better worship the Lord. Amen? For all that he's done, that he's chosen to use you to show the principalities and powers, his wisdom. Glory to God. What a position that is, that we're being used by God. He definitely doesn't need us. Because y'all got hang-ups. All y'all got hang-ups. Man, glory to God. I know why he chose me, but y'all, this. Stand to your feet, everyone. We got to go. Our time is up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout glory in this place. Hallelujah. Shout glory in this place. Come on, give God the praise in this place to an audience of one. Hallelujah. For he is worthy of our praise and adoration. He's magnificent. Hallelujah. To him be glory and honor. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything you could ask or think. He's able to do it. He's able to heal your body. He's able to save your soul. He's able to deliver you from whatever it is. He is able to do it according to the power that works in you right now. That power is in you. Glory to God.
The greatest miracle that could ever happen is salvation. Greatest miracle that could ever happen is salvation. And so you may be here today. And Sister Woods, could you come up and some of your team come up? There's no greater miracle than to be saved. Doesn't matter how old you are and really how young you are. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. And you may say, well, Pastor, I know that I am saved. I'm sure. But you still may have a need for prayer. And these fine people are here, and they're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. And so just a moment, I'm going to ask for those of you who want prayer, or for those of you who find yourself that you're not sure whether you know Jesus as your personal Savior or not, to come and give your life to the Lord Jesus. And give me something, John. The greatest gift you can give to him for his birthday is you. That's the greatest gift you can give him, is to give him your life. I mean, he paid the price for your life. So if you're here today and you're not sure that if you die today, you would go to heaven, I want you to come join me here at this altar. Or if you have a prayer need that you want someone to agree with you with, I want you to come join me at this altar and we will pray for you. It won't take long, but I want to give you this opportunity. If you do not know Jesus, you're not sure. Says, Phil, I'm not sure if I died today, what would happen to me? Here's your opportunity to make sure that you would know that you know that you know. If you want to, you can come to this altar and we will pray with you. We want to give you a chance. I don't want you leaving this place and seeing God and saying you didn't get the opportunity, but I give you the opportunity now. If you want to make sure that if you die today, that you'd have eternal life, here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity. I give you another moment or so. This is what you want. And if God is speaking to your heart, don't harden your heart. If you want prayer for anything, we will pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, come. And then you prayer team, you ask them what they want prayer for, and you pray specifically for that. Glory to God. Here's some ladies here on this side here. We'll pray with you.